Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferraci, your health and wellness resource, where you get the whole scoop and nothing but the scoop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Whole Scoop. We are a health and wellness radio show where our guests are always highly credentialed in the topics that we discuss. The goal of this program, as you know, is to present you with different, sometimes opposing, perspectives to allow you to make informed decisions about your right health choices, the ones that are right for you. I am your host, Carol Ferraci, a registered licensed dietitian, practicing for well over than I'd like to admit, so I'm going to skip that. If you've been listening, you know how long. I am the founder of Naturally Nutrition, and you can check me out at www.naturallynutritioninc.com. You know, if you've listened, that it's important for me to provide you with highly qualified guests on a variety of topics and to promote your own health and wellness. Tonight's show is, better get checked and protect. Yes, it will all make sense, I promise. But in the meantime, I've got to do the business and say, let me remind you that while our guests are highly credentialed on the topics that we discuss, it's always recommended that you seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. The call-in number is 347-855-8894. You can also direct questions and comments to our Facebook Blog Talk Radio group page. And join that, please. Give us some feedback. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us if you liked what you heard. And we have a website, thewholescoopradio.com. That's where you'll find all the information on our guests and how to get in touch with them and some more information as we get it. We put it on there. The number is 347-855-8894. We will take questions later on in the show. If you have any questions and you're listening by telephone, you can press the number 1 to get in the queue to become part of the queue for questions. You know, if you don't press the number 1, I won't know that you have a question. So you've got to do that. You can also ask us questions on the Blog Talk Radio group page, and we will check those out too. So, you know what? We have a first-time guest, and she is, I'm going to give full disclosure, I've known her for a very long time. She is a phenomenal person. She has accomplished more than most people that in her short career. She is someone that I am honored to have here tonight. Her name is Amy Hart. She is the president and CEO of the Center for Hearing and Deaf Services in Pittsburgh, PA. And it's the HDS, Hearing and Deaf Services, is the only nonprofit agency providing comprehensive services to people who are deaf, deafblind, hard of hearing, or have other communication needs in the region. Some of Amy's experiences include Director of Community Relations at Mars Home for Youth and Vice President of Community Investments at United Way of Allegheny County. She was also founding Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Service Corps, one of the original National Service Demonstration Projects, and was founding Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Campus Compact. Amy's early work was with the Adolescent Drug and Alcohol Treatment Unit at St. Francis Hospital and for the Collegiate YMCA of Pittsburgh. She is known as an entrepreneurial leader who is effective at building winning relationships and effective partnerships, as well as supporting others in the field. She holds a master's degree in social work from the University of Pittsburgh and a bachelor's degree from Duquesne University. I am going to tell you from personal experience, Amy is absolutely phenomenal, and I'm so glad to have her, and I just want everybody to say, hello, Amy. Are you with us?
Hi, Carol. Thanks for that introduction.
Thanks for being here. I really appreciate your time tonight. You know, this topic, we only have an hour, and I say this a lot with this program. Every topic that I do, it's like we only have an hour. Well, tonight, I think we could use so much more time, but we're gonna hit the highlights, and I'm gonna start us out with just some statistics so people know why we're doing this show. About 20% of Americans, 48 million people, report some degree of hearing loss. At age 65, one of three people has a hearing loss. 60% of people with hearing loss are either in the workforce or in educational settings. This is interesting. While people in the workplace with the mildest hearing losses show little or no drop in income compared to their normal hearing peers, as the hearing loss increases, so does the reduction in compensation. That's interesting, right? About 2 to 3 of every 1,000 children in the United States are born with a detectable hearing loss in one or both ears. Almost 15% of school-age children have some degree of hearing loss. And I'm going to skip through some of this, but the last point I want to make on these statistics, because I don't want to spend the whole night talking about statistics, the prevalence of hearing impairment at all ages decreases as family income increases. Overall, those with a family income of less than $10,000 are twice as likely as those with a family income of $50,000 and over to have a hearing impairment. Those are the just like a few highlights. And Amy, you know, I had a hard time deciding where to start, but when we were talking earlier, you just kind of cut to the chase and said, hey, you know what, most people want to know what causes hearing loss. So why don't we just start there, and then we'll start talking. And as we're going along, if you guys have questions, I'm going to be checking the blog, so let me know, okay?
Okay. The number one cause of hearing loss is the natural aging process. As we age, we lose our hearing. Just like everything else doesn't work the way it used to, neither do our ears. And you start to notice it between 50 and 60. Now, between 50 and 60, you're not as bad as some people, but you might be saying that you can't hear quite as well in restaurants, or you need to turn the TV up a little louder. You just start to notice it diminishing. The second leading cause of hearing loss is noise. So regular exposure to sounds over 85 to 90 decibels, and city traffic is about 80. A boombox is 120. And a rock concert is about 140, puts your hearing at risk. You see this a lot. You used to see it a lot more in industrial settings. People who worked in industry in loud places often lost their hearing at much younger ages. In fact, when printing presses were the big deal, when they were so loud and huge and filled entire rooms, printing companies used to hire deaf people to run the printing presses, because they were the only ones who could stand the noise. It's kind of interesting if you talk to folks in the deaf community, so many of them or their parents or grandparents were printers at one time. Other major causes of hearing loss include high fever diseases. Measles, a lot of young kids, when measles was a lot more prevalent, a lot of young kids lost their hearing to German measles, rubella, any disease that gives you a really high fever over a prolonged period of time, diabetes, head trauma, earwax buildup. One that a lot of people don't know is there's a class of medications that are called ototoxic medications. What does that mean? That means they're toxic to your hearing. And I don't want to panic people when I give you what these medicines are, because it's usually at high doses, but one of the most common is aspirin. And that's if you take 8 to 12 pills a day, which some people with arthritis or, you know, other pain issues take, that can affect your hearing. Ibuprofen and naproxen, again, taken in high doses. Platinum-based chemotherapy can have a really dramatic effect on your hearing. Certain antibiotics, they are. Now this is most common in people who also have kidney disease or who already have hearing problems, but we're talking gentamicin, streptomycin, neomycin. They can affect your hearing. And loop diuretics that are used to treat high blood pressure sometimes can cause hearing loss. So if you're taking these medications and you notice any difference in your hearing, you should tell your doctor right away. And it's much more likely if you take two or more of these at the same time, because then they compound on each other.
Which a lot of people do, because a lot of people have combination diagnoses like hypertension, kidney disease, and they're taking maybe one or two diuretics along with some other any of those meds that
right,
you described.
Right, ibuprofen, naproxen, you know, you're taking those because of a different pain issue along with diuretics, and so they can compound each other and have effect on your hearing. And another one that a lot of people don't know about is a history of ear infections and allergies. And this goes back a little bit to what you said about lower income having a higher incidence of hearing loss. People, a lot of people who don't have access to really high quality medical care or who don't have a way to pay for medical care or just don't know, don't realize that an ear infection can damage your hearing, can damage the nerves in your ear, and so can allergies if they're left untreated. So you really have to, when you have those conditions, you really need to deal with them right away. It's
so
not
you need,
something you
if
should.
If you have allergies, you should get the histamine levels down. So,
right.
If you get the histamine levels down, is there any evidence to show that any antihistamines create an ototoxic effect?
No.
Do you know?
Okay. No, there's no evidence that antihistamines do that.
Okay. All right. I was just checking. Because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at some of the things that you're saying, and I'm kind of running by some of the multiple diagnoses that I see daily in people and multiple medications, and you know, you've got some people who are getting double whammied in terms of what their age might be, what their occupation may have been, you know, double, triple whammied, and then the medications, and you factor all those things together and they have a hearing loss, and you would probably look at that person and your center would look at that person and go, yeah, of course. The rest of us are going, right now, from the information you just gave us, we're all going like, oh my. So you just kind of enlightened.
Right.
I think you enlightened a whole lot of people.
We always say that hearing loss is kind of the last frontier no one wants to deal with. People associate it with being old. So if the statistics say that it's between 5 and 7 years between when someone recognizes that they're losing their hearing and when they do anything about it. And even when they do anything about it, a lot of times what they do is go to the doctor, and the doctor said, yeah, you need hearing aids, a doctor or an audiologist. And then they don't get them, or they get them and put them in the drawer because it's too weird. A lot of people, what we find is there is almost no insurance coverage for hearing aids, and they're pretty expensive. So a lot of people don't get them because they can't afford them.
Mm-hmm.
The jokes we always say are, you know, when we were kids, when you were getting braces, that was like the worst thing in the world. And now kids have like designer gum bands and they wear them to match their clothes. And the second worst was getting glasses. And now people wear them without lenses. So our dream is to find a way to make wearing a hearing aid cool so that people will actually use them.
We're talking about that a little bit. You did say that some of them are Bluetooth related now, but
oh yeah, they're very they can do almost anything really. There are ones you can control in your phone there are ones that automatically shift. So say you're in a restaurant and you want to hear the people at your table. Well, the hearing aid will shift to block out the background noises. If you're outside and there's maybe a lot of wind noise, and they'll block that out. So the technology is very sophisticated, and it's getting more sophisticated every day.
So I'm assuming that as the technology becomes better, so does the price become higher?
Exactly. Yep. I mean,
there are hearing aids that
individually cost $6,000. $8,000.
And they're not covered by insurance. And so what would most people come in and get? Your basic bargain basement one?
Yeah,
or what?
Medicare will cover hearing aids once every 5 years. And there are some legacy industry plans like carpenters, steel workers, those kinds of things, firefighters, that will cover them. Kids under 21 can generally get them through Medicaid. But if you're over 21, if you need hearing aids to work, you might be able to get them through an Office of Vocational Rehabilitation. What most people do is, if they can even do that, they go for the cheapest ones. We've actually just started a fund to help people who can't afford it get hearing aids, because we get 2 to 3 calls a day from people who need hearing aids and can't afford them.
Can you reuse hearing aids? Can they be adjusted, say, from somebody else that no longer needs them? Or, you know, maybe
yes.
No longer with us, add them?
Yes, we do that all the time. We take donated hearing aids and rehab them and just charge someone for the cost of the rehab. That maybe it needs a new ear mold, you know, to fit the individual's ear because everyone's ears are different. And then we also have ones that we sell really cheaply, which are just as is. So, we clean them, obviously, make sure they're in working order and do that. But we do take donations.
So you have an online store where you take care of these things, right?
I'm sorry, an online?
You have an online store?
Yes, we do.
Where people
Well, you can't get hearing aids from the online store. You need to see our audiologist or see an audiologist. What a lot of people also don't realize is that hearing aid dealers – are not the same as audiologists. An audiologist is a medical professional. A hearing aid dealer is someone who sells hearing aids.
Okay, so I'm gonna throw myself into this mix with my family, and I remember my father had hearing aids through a particular standalone company, and whenever he needed to get them adjusted, he could only go there. And no one else would touch them because there were times when I tried to get him an appointment with other people and, say, another a different audiologist, and they would just go, sorry, we can't touch this. Is it because it's proprietary and then you don't have the flexibility? Because now I'm going to bring my mother into this in that she actually – got hearing aids through you and your center, and I believe that she does not have that problem, correct? I don't know for sure, but I'm asking.
Well, it really depends. Some audiologists only sell one brand. People may not want to work on hearing aids that they did not dispense because, number one, they don't know the patient. So they don't know what their issues are or what – hearing loss is very individualized. Some people may not be able to hear high tones. Some people may not be able to hear low tones. Some people may have more problems in group settings. Some people may have more problems hearing the TV or hearing conversations. So it's very individualized. It may be as simple as they don't want to break them. You know, if they drop them or, you know, an accident happens, they don't want to break them and be responsible for them. We sell – a multitude of different brands of hearing aids, so it's a little easier for us, but every hearing aid company is different, a little bit different. So,
I see. Well, let's just back up here and let's go real basic, and can you give us a definition of an audiologist versus, why an audiologist versus somebody else? Forget the terminology you just used.
There's hearing aid dealers, audiologists, and there's what are called ENTs, which are ear, nose, and throat doctors. A hearing aid dealer is trained in how to sell hearing aids and how to do a basic test and how to sell hearing aids for you. An audiologist is a medical professional who's got 5 years of college plus a long internship and has done nothing except study hearing loss, so they can also help you understand if maybe the problem is not your hearing. They don't diagnose, they're not doctors, but they can help you understand what's going on in your ear, why you're losing your hearing, what your prognosis is, and they can tell things like if you may be able to hear the TV perfectly well, but you can't have a conversation with someone. So then your issue is probably more word distinction than it is a total hearing loss. An audiologist is able to diagnose those kinds of things. Sort of the top of the line is an ENT. It's an ear, nose, and throat specialist. Those are physicians who have done their whole medical school, and then they do a residency just in ear, nose, and throat problems. Generally, they are the ones who will diagnose if there is a tumor in the ear. They're the ones who do cochlear implants. They're the ones who check to see if there are medical reasons behind your hearing loss, because sometimes there are.
Mm-hmm. So, well, and that's where I was going. I couldn't remember what you said about the hearing aid dealer. And for me, that terminology just implies someone that is pretty much like, you know, going to sell a product to you. But is that is not the person you really want to have tell you that you have a hearing problem, correct?
We don't think so. We always say, see an audiologist. What you should really do, ideally, is get a baseline audiogram while you can still hear. An audiogram is actually a picture of what your hearing looks like. And it shows where you hear in high tones, low tones, decibels, those kinds of things. And it looks like a chart. And it's kind of a personal profile of you and your hearing. It's very easy. It's painless. You wear headphones in a soundproof booth. You hear a series of tones at different volumes, and you repeat everyday words. And it, to be a valid audiogram, it has to be conducted by a certified audiologist. So it's a benchmark. If you get it done early enough, it's a benchmark for future testing. It's always a benchmark because hearing loss is generally progressive. And it doesn't come back. Everyone should really get a hearing test every 2 to 3 years. People who work in noisy environments or anyone over the age of 50 should get tested annually. And I know that's a lot. Generally, industry, who is now more aware of hearing loss and the effects of noise on hearing on the hearing of their employees, we'll bring in someone to do industrial hearing testing. We do some of that from our office just to check every year. But, I mean, we just encourage people, take care of your hearing the same level of care you provide your eyes and your teeth. You know, folks would never go without getting their eyes checked anymore or without getting their teeth checked, so you should get your hearing checked too.
Well, okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and I'm going to say, okay, great. I'll go get my hearing checked, and you just said it doesn't come back. So, why do I need to get it checked all the time? Why do I have to keep getting it checked? I mean, what can be done? What are there things I can do besides turn down the volume or don't expose myself to loud noises or, you know, the things that you just said? You know, how do I manage that? With my teeth, I know how to keep my teeth clean. With you know, my eyes, I know what to do with my eyes. And, you see where I'm going here? It's like I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here for the people that are listening going,
right.
Oh, but if it doesn't come back, why? You know?
Right. So the first thing you have to do is minimize exposure to noise. And I think people don't understand – you know, how exposed to noise we are on a daily basis. So someone mowing the lawn. Now, remember, we said sounds over 85 to 90 decibels are potentially dangerous to your hearing. Someone mowing the lawn, that's 90 decibels. You should never mow your lawn without hearing protection. A fireworks display is 125 to 155 decibels. A concert is 140 decibels. So there are a lot of ways we can protect our hearing that we don't even think about. Some of the, like, if I said to you, what would you say is, name me two professions that get hearing loss that's induced by noise at their work? What would you say?
I honestly don't know what I would say to that because for me, there's, like, a lot of noise in everybody's work. It just depends on what you do.
Well, usually people say landscapers, you know, people who cut grass, where they say industry. But other professions that are affected by hearing loss are hotel housekeepers. They run the vacuum cleaner all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Hairdressers, they're around hair dryers all day long. So you have to kind of think of that. That's the first thing you do. Once you know you have a hearing loss, it depends on how severe it is. You may have a hearing loss that doesn't require a hearing aid yet, but there are other assistive listening devices you can use to help you hear better in certain situations. There's a thing called a pocket talker. It's about the size of a deck of cards. And it has a personal directional microphone, and you put the earpiece over your ear, not in your ear, over your ear, and you can direct the microphone wherever you want. That helps a lot of people. Some people take lip reading classes to enhance their ability to understand words. Lip reading is very difficult, but some people find it really helps them. But it's mostly admitting it. Let your friends, your coworkers, other people know that you have a hearing loss. Don't be ashamed of it. Say that you have it, that you're working on it. Look at the person who's talking to you. Don't feel embarrassed to ask people to speak clearly and slowly. And don't shout, because shouting doesn't really help. If you're still not getting all the words, watch facial expressions and gestures to get clues about what's being said. And don't be afraid to say, "What did you say?" Reword that again. Or, you know, say, "I have a hearing loss." Do it again. The reason you keep getting checked is because whatever you're doing to help deal with your hearing loss, if your hearing loss increases, you may need further intervention. So you may get tested this year and they say, "You know, you're not ready for a hearing aid yet. Here's some things you can do." Maybe you go back next year and it's, you know, you might be ready for a hearing aid.
Yeah.
We want to help people understand that hearing loss is not the end of it, but it has to be dealt with. There's a lot of research out there that shows that hearing loss leads to depression, to isolation, and to early onset of dementia. Now, you may say, you know, how is that happening? Why is that happening? But think about it. So you go out to dinner with friends, and your friends are talking about, you know, someone's new shoes. And you pop up in the middle of dinner and say, "What clues? Clues to what?" And all your friends are looking at each other, and what they're thinking is, "Wow, Carol's losing it."
Mm-hmm.
So you
right.
become embarrassed, and you stay home.
Yeah.
And as you get more and more of those situations, you stay home more and more. And that has a dramatic impact on your emotions and on your whole well-being. And so slowly you become more and more isolated. You know, a lot of people know someone who they can hear their TV from the street. So what happens? They don't go to their house anymore because they can't stand how loud the TV is. You know, we've sold people who don't have hearing aids. We've sold them pocket talkers, which can help them watch TV. And they've said things like, "I think this saved my marriage." Because we couldn't be in the same room watching TV because I can't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that answers your question. That was a very long-winded answer.
Yeah, no, it actually does. In fact, I wanted to kind of add to what you said in terms of it, you know, it leading to depression, isolation, and dementia. I wanted to add one other thing, because I remember having this conversation with you a long time ago, and you said to me, "You can't remember what you can't hear." And
right.
So, you know, that hit home with me, because at the time I was watching my dad, and you know, he was diagnosed with a dementia of some sort. We never really pinpointed what kind of dementia, but he had a severe hearing problem. And so when I realized that you really can't remember what you can't hear, because there's no place to put that memory, because you never really had it, you couldn't form it. So if that's the case, then, you know, is it the chicken or the egg as it relates to this thing with dementia? In some cases, not everything. And it would lead to, you know, it did lead to isolationism, because then what happens on the other side is, if you know somebody can't hear, you stop talking to them too, because it's frustrating to talk to somebody who can't hear. So it's like, well, he can't hear me anyway, so I'm not going to say it. And then he knows that nobody's talking to you. And I watched this happen with my dad. And, you know, we were so far away from each other, but I could hear it, and excuse the pun, but I could hear it over the phone as to how it was happening with him. And it was just so difficult, because there was no real way to undo that. So
right.
What do people do in those situations?
Well, the first thing you have to do is find assistive devices. If the person's admitted to hearing loss and they understand it's you have to find ways to work around. There are telephones now, not only that amplify the sound and make them loud, but there are caption telephones. So, and this is especially true or helpful to older people who aren't comfortable with computers or technology. So they talk into a receiver just like a regular phone, but what you're saying to them is typed across the screen.
Okay.
And there's not really a delay. It just comes right across the screen. So they can read what you're saying to them. So you have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Lot of older people love that technology. And there's several different brands out there.
That's fabulous. But then you couple in the fact that you factor in the dementia part of it, and you don't know, you know? You don't know what they're going to read or be able to read.
Right. And if someone is already in a dementia state, then you just have to kind of roll with what you have. If you know that they're hearing you, then that will make a difference. At least you know that they've heard you.
Right.
I mean,
good
what
point.
People don't – yeah. I think what a lot of people don't understand is how prevalent this is. Hearing loss is second only to arthritis.
Really?
As the most common disability among older adults. Yeah.
I didn't know
it's
that.
It's the second most common disability. Because if you get old enough, you're going to lose your hearing. People lose it at different points, at different, you know, times. But if you're old enough, you're going to lose your hearing. And so it's the second most common disability. And you touched on this before. Our ears are exposed to loud and repetitive noise throughout a person's lifetime. You're driving down the road next to a big truck.
Mm-hmm.
Your ears are getting battered. Or a motorcycle.
It drives crazy. Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
I do too. I hate it.
Especially if you get caught next to one in a tunnel. That's really a treat. And it's also one of the most undiagnosed conditions by doctors. Because, as you said, you know, you get a certain age and doctors just assume it's something else. They assume it's dementia. They assume that there's something else going on. They don't think of, maybe he can't hear.
Right. And we went through that with my dad, just trying to get somebody to, because he didn't always exhibit all of the classic issues of dementia. You know, he had them, but it was kind of like, is it because he can't hear? And we couldn't get anybody to really pay attention to help us determine that.
Yeah, I think doctors, to a certain extent, just accept that older people are going to have hearing loss, or they just assume it, so they don't think about the impacts.
Right.
They don't think about it affecting, I mean, it could even affect your medical treatment. You know, they are explaining to you how to take a medication. They're explaining to you, you know, what to do when you get home. What if you don't hear it or understand what you're hearing? I mean, the effects
and
can be tremendous.
Embarrassed. You put all of those factors together, and you're too embarrassed to say, I didn't hear you, or to keep saying, excuse the pun for the name of the show, but, it, you know, to keep saying, huh? Or can you repeat that? You don't want to do that, especially with your doctor. So you don't know, and you get home, and you're all confused, and now you run the risk of medication errors. And it's just it's a vicious cycle for people. That leads me to another question. I mean, I know we said that this isn't reversible in any way, but I am going to ask, and if you know, for the ototoxic medications, if they get off of those, does hearing improve at all, or is it permanent once it happens because you've been exposed to a toxic med for your ear?
Hearing loss in your sort of natural ear is always permanent.
Okay.
I mean, there are things you can do. You know, there are some people, and this is a little more common among people who have ototoxic hearing loss. One of the most common, most widely known is Rush Limbaugh, who he had ototoxic hearing loss. He went completely deaf overnight, and he had cochlear implants put in. So there are things you can...
I don't follow him too much, so I didn't really know that about him.
Yeah, I don't follow him, but I do know that much. And he got cochlear implants. So there are assistive devices you can get, but hearing loss is always permanent. That's why we tell kids, you know, one of the scariest statistics for us is that the fastest growing group of people with hearing loss is people under 30. 15% of people under 30 have measurable hearing loss, and it's from blasting music and having cell phones in your ears.
Say those statistics again. What is the percentage? 15, like 1.5%?
1.5% under 30 have measurable hearing loss. You know, I'm a social worker. Our job is supposed to be put ourselves out of business. But we keep saying, we may never go out of business. Because if you're walking down the street and you're standing across the street and you can hear the music of someone's coming out of someone's earbuds, they're damaging their hearing. If you're listening to music, if you're listening to music or talking on the phone through an earbud, you should be able to hear someone call your name. You should be able to hear sirens. You should be able to hear noise around you. And a lot of people don't like that. They find that distracting. It takes away from the experience. So they turn it up. Well, they're also damaging their hearing. And then it becomes a cycle because your hearing is damaged, so you need to turn it louder. And then you turn it louder, and it damages your hearing some more. So we recommend everybody, if you listen to music, headphones are always better than earbuds.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice runners now, you see more and more, you'll see runners with headphones on instead of earbuds. And that's why, because the word is slowly but surely getting out about the damage that can be done to your hearing. And once it's gone, it's gone. That's what people don't understand. When it's gone, it's gone.
I don't think people understand anything about this topic. I really don't. I mean, I'm sitting here with you. I thought I did some research for this, and I'm, like, blown away by some of the things that you're saying. And I'm hoping that the people that are listening to this or that will listen to this through the archives get a real clue that – because what you just said about people under 30 and 15% of them, and how often do we see – I mean, we see people constantly with earbuds, constantly. And it's the thing to do, to just have music in your ears or to have something in your ears. So what are they projecting in statistics?
Right. I mean, you can wear earbuds as long as you don't turn the music up too loud.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay. Good luck with that. I'm just kind of formulating all this going. What are the projected statistics for the hearing impaired for the millennials in just a couple of years? Like, what are they projecting that these statistics are going to look like? If we already have 48 million people with a hearing issue, what's that going to look like in a few years? With what you've just said, I mean, do you just add another 15% on that, or is there going to be more than that because of society and how we live today and in this fast-paced, electronic, everything has to be attached to us kind of world, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, nobody is projecting numbers, but if you've got 15% of the population under 30 who's got a measurable hearing loss now, I mean, you know, you have to do the math.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe their hearing loss isn't to the
math.
If you combine that with the natural hearing loss that comes from aging, as people get older, there's going to be a lot of people with pretty serious hearing loss. And kids don't know this. I mean, I've talked to groups of kids, and I tell them this, and I say, when you come out of a concert and you have that muffled sound, and you think that that's really fun and cool. And they're like, yeah, but our hearing comes back. And I said, it's not the same as it was. It might be a little tiny deficit now, but you've damaged your hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we say you should never go to a concert without earplugs. There are things called musician's earplugs, which enable you to hear the music, but they dampen down the most damaging levels. But kids don't want to hear that. I mean, we didn't. When we were kids, we went to concerts and walked around the next day saying, oh, I can hardly hear, and thinking it was really cool.
Right. I talk
to kids and I tell them, you know, and you know, you're blasting your earbuds, you're hurting your ears, and they're like, well, it comes back. Well, it really doesn't. Ultimately, it doesn't. It's not just the loudness of the noise. You know, you're going through a tunnel with a truck next to you, and that actually hurts your ears. That's pretty awful. But if you're repeating that level of noise over and over and over again, so it's a combination of the decibels and the repetition that cause the damage. So if you're doing it, if you're listening, if you're blasting music every day your hearing is going to diminish a tiny bit.
So what are the goals for your sensor? Like, you have this, you know what you're dealing with in terms of the population and statistics and what you're seeing, but what kinds of things do you do in your center for to help these issues or to assist in you know, people that in need of services? What do you do?
We do a ton of outreach and education. We go to health fairs all over that attract from ages, you know, grade school kids all the way to senior citizens. We preach all the time, protection, protecting your hearing, using ear protection. That's one of our big things. So we do a lot of that. We try to let people know that there are devices that can help them, that they're not sort of, okay, you lost your hearing. You know, there's things out there that can help you to hear better, to hear more clearly. So it's really outreach and education in addition to our audiologists treating people with hearing loss.
Okay.
So it's a combination of that. I mean, we have lots of other programs, but those are the ones that really deal directly with hearing loss.
And I mean, but in your when we were starting out the program, and I'm just going to go back to your bio for a second and say, you know, the goals of your program are to assist people with the hearing impaired, right? And hearing
right.
And blind and then the deaf, right? So you have three
deaf.
Different levels.
Right. Hearing people who are hard of hearing, deaf or deaf blind.
Okay.
Or who have communication disorders.
So I wanted to kind of, because in one of those statistics that I read early on, it was about people with, and I'm going to just kind of improvise here, people with advanced hearing deficit have a harder time staying or being employed, right? I mean, that's what I read. So if
mm-hmm.
that's the case, do you... Are there programs out there for them? What can they do? I mean, if they can no longer be a part of the workforce, how do they function? Are they 'cause not everybody's eligible for some kind of governmental assistance. So how does that work? What do you guys do with that?
Well, I've not seen that statistic. I mean, we discussed it earlier, but what I think is going on there is that people are not getting promoted and progressing because they can't hear. So what they need is they're not performing tasks correctly. You know, they're missing meetings. Maybe they're difficult to deal with in meetings because they can't hear what's being said. So the first thing they need to do is whatever they can to correct or help their hearing loss. So when we have people who need to be employed who have severe hearing loss, the first thing we do is recommend that they go to the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation. There are offices of vocational rehabilitation, I believe, in every state, and their job is to help people with part of their job is to help people with disabilities find employment. So they will evaluate the person's skills and abilities, what they're good at, what they're trained to do, and help them find jobs. And that includes, if they need hearing aids, helping them to get hearing aids. If they need a vibrating alarm clock to get them out of bed, getting them a vibrating alarm clock. So they provide support to folks who need help finding employment. That's their sole goal, is to find people jobs.
You know,
what
you
we
just
do
said
with
something
that is
that,
we,
I'm sorry, you continue. Please continue.
No, I was just going to say what we do with that is we help evaluate the level of hearing loss and make recommendations on what assistive devices they need. The other thing we do is go out into workplaces and evaluate what the person's work situation is. So here's a really, we find this pretty often. So you have someone who has a hearing loss. They're put in a cube with everybody else, and their desk and their cube faces the back wall. So they can't really hear well what's going on behind them. So if everybody's getting together to have a cake for someone's birthday or there's a fire drill or whatever, they don't know. And it's that situation is fixed by turning their desk around. Like, it doesn't have to be something real outrageous, expensive, high tech. It can be really low tech kinds of things that you do. If you know someone has a telephone on their desk and they're having trouble using the phone, get them an amplified telephone. So, you know, like I said, it doesn't have to be really expensive or extensive. So we go out and evaluate their workplace and make recommendations. Like, these are the things you can do to help this person be successful.
Okay.
And often it's not a big, huge deal.
I'm going to cut you for a second and just say, if anybody wants to ask a question, if you're on the phone, press the number 1 to get in the queue and ask Amy a question. Just want to remind you, because we're again running short on time, so I just wanted to kind of, if you want a question, now's the time to do that. But go ahead, Amy. I'm sorry. I just wanted to kind of get that in.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, I think that's just what I wanted to say, is that it's not always complicated or difficult or complex to help someone.
Well,
in the
you did another enlightening thing here too. You said a vibrating alarm clock. Like, it didn't even click with me that, yeah, you're not going to be able to hear an alarm clock. So a vibrating alarm clock could keep somebody from being late for work, who may ultimately be fired because they never heard the alarm clock or didn't hear it regularly enough to get to work on time regularly enough. So it's pretty much a vicious cycle that this can absolutely impact the quality of life in a whole lot of different directions that I don't think that I really ever put together. So I'm hoping that it's been enlightening for the people that are listening as well. I'm going to see if there's anything on the blog. So, but you make that point for something simple, and if people were more aware of these things, even for just themselves, you know, what would stop somebody from saying, hey, I need to kind of move my desk around. Would that be okay? If you don't want to tell somebody why, you know, just ask and try to protect yourself. But you have to know about these things, and you have to be able to put that picture together. So how many people have these issues with the hearing loss? And this is just a rhetorical kind of question. How many people have these issues but don't even know, don't even recognize that their issues actually stem from a hearing loss, so they can't really put it together and they can't really seek what they need because they don't really understand that that's what it is?
Which brings us back to the importance of getting your hearing tested.
Well, there
it's
you go.
It's so that
okay.
You know. I mean, information is power. Right? What's that saying?
Right.
Better, you know, well known is well armed. If you know you have a hearing loss, then you can start thinking about these kinds of things. And again, you know, you made a good point. You know, they don't want to say anything. They don't want to say why they want to move their desk. People are ashamed of hearing loss. Don't be. It is what it is. You know,
right.
Don't be ashamed of it. You're not ashamed to wear glasses. So you're, you know, ashamed to wear hearing aids. I remember when I first got glasses, and we were talking to somebody, and somebody was saying, well, I only need mine to read. And I said, well, I only need mine to see. You know? I mean, people are still very ashamed if they have a hearing loss. And that's what really needs to stop, because it holds people back. You know, you've got a hearing loss. Okay. What do we do about it?
It definitely holds people back, and it definitely and I think in today's world, Yeah, people tend to be, maybe this is a little Pollyannish on my part, but I'm hoping that people tend to be a little more open with people that have some different issues. And maybe not in all circumstances, but I would think that hearing wouldn't be, it doesn't have the stigma attached to it that it used to, I think, is what I'm trying to say. Is that correct, or am I wrong about that?
It has a stigma, oddly enough, in the person who has the hearing loss. It doesn't
right,
have,
I'm talking about the general community once they find out. I don't think that stigma is like it used to be. Like, you know, there was a time, sadly, that if somebody had a hearing loss or, you know, even if you wore glasses or, you know, whatever the situation was, people used to stand in the corner and point at you and go, oh, yeah, look at that kid with the glasses. Look how thick those glasses are. And then we'd make fun of everybody, you know? Or, you know, oh, isn't it a shame? That one's got a hearing issue. And then they would kind of, like, act differently. I don't know if that happens. It may happen, as much as I hate to admit this, it may happen with older generations, but the younger generation, I don't think that would even faze them.
Well, it points to the need for self-advocacy, because what people need to know is how to interact with you if you have a hearing loss. People feel it's not that they make fun of the hearing loss or that they think, you know, oh, that person wears hearing aids, you know, they're this, they're that. It's that they don't know what to do. You know, imagine in a workplace, you're working with someone and all they say to you is, well, I don't hear very well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the person who can't hear very well should follow that with, I can't hear very well, so please face me when you speak. Please speak slowly and clearly. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, it's giving what you yeah. need. I had someone tell me, and Carol's known me for a long time, so she knows this was no hardship, but that it would really help if I always wore dark lipstick because it made it easier for folks to read my lips.
Wow.
I mean, who thinks of stuff like that? But
yeah,
this person...
Well, and that's what I'm getting in this whole show. I mean, who thinks of a vibrating alarm clock? Who thinks of darkened lipstick? Who thinks of, you know, the pocket talker thing? You know, I mean, the things that you've brought up tonight are just phenomenal in terms of enlightening. So thank you for
I'm sure.
Yeah, I sincerely meant thank you for being here earlier, but now it's kind of like, you know, the enlightening part of this is just amazing that we all need to know about. We all need to understand, because if we, you're right, information is power, but the more that we all know about this, we may be able to pick up on somebody who's not talking about it and do things for them to make them more comfortable so that they eventually start talking about it, because we're all on board, because we're all informed. And that is the purpose of the whole scoop, and that's why we do what we do on this particular show. We cover all kinds of topics to allow people to have good, solid, credentialed information so that they're not confused about, you know, what may be or may not be. Is this true? Is this not true? So this is such a fabulous, helpful information. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope folks find it helpful.
Yeah, I'm not getting any questions here. If somebody wants to ask a question, press the number one. I do have a couple of blog questions, but I think we went over most of these. Here's one here that says, this is, well, you know, you didn't cover this. Is it true that smoking can cause hearing loss?
There's no real direct link, but smoking does cause a narrowing of the arteries and the veins. And you do have arteries that are near your ear. So, I mean, anything you can do to avoid that,
mm-hmm.
that would be a good thing.
So, stop smoking?
Well, I think that there's more than me saying that.
Yeah, okay. Wow, okay. So, well, you know, let's just take that. We've got just a couple of minutes left, but there's got to be phenomenal indirect factors that also play into this. So we talked about the combination direct factors that we know cause hearing loss, but what about some of the indirect ones? I mean, do you know any more other than spoken? I mean, that kind of opens up a whole new world, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that can happen, you know, that can, you know, if you have a head injury, you could mm-hmm. you could lose your hearing, you know, from mm-hmm. a hard hit to the head.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's so many different things that can go on. You know, we focus on the major ones, but those are kind of rare, you know, like the whole smoking thing. There's studies that say yes, there's studies that say no. You know, it's bad for you, so don't do it. You know, there's just amazing amounts of things that can go wrong with your body that you don't know
yeah.
when you're doing them can hurt. I said, you know, the main ones are age, noise, and you know, medications and infections, early infections. And there are some people who are born with hearing loss. They have, you know, neural deficit, nerve deficits. One of my staff people who's completely deaf was able to hear until she was 20. They're called late deafened people. And their hearing loss, they're born with a hearing loss at a varying degrees. And as they get older, they lose more and more of their hearing. There's not really much you can do about that except learn to cope. I mean, her thing was learning sign language. So, you know, we teach sign language classes all the time.
And
so, you know, it's learning, you know, it's learning to deal with it. It's learning the what to do. And like I said, not being ashamed to self-advocate. You know,
yeah.
Don't be ashamed of it. If you have it, find out how you're going to deal with it and keep going. And I know that sounds a lot easier probably than it actually is. But, you know, if you had any other medical condition, you would deal with it. And that's kind of what you have to do with hearing loss. Ignoring it, you know, doesn't make it go away. And there's so much help out there. The technology is amazing today. Amazing. It advances almost faster than we can keep up.
Like,
you know, there's not even...
That's, again, where I'm going to get a little Pollyanna in terms of they've not made any progress in restoring hearing. It's just a matter of enhancing what they have. Is that correct?
Yes. There's not really been – I mean, there are cochlear implants which can restore hearing. They only work in people who have experience with hearing. So someone, say, who was born profoundly deaf, a cochlear implant would probably not work for them, but they've done that. But they have not – found ways to restore the most common causes, which is nerve damage and, you know, aging. There are things, a lot of industrial hearing loss causes the little bones in your ear, the anvil and stirrups in your ear to go bad. They can replace those with a technique called a stapendectomy, which is a surgical mm-hmm. repair, and there are some surgeries they can do to restore it, but as you get older, you're going to start with the natural aging process of losing your hearing again. It's going to happen. My dad had a double stapendectomy, and he was still wearing hearing aids when he passed away. Wearing them again because he had not needed them. So, you know, there are things out there that can fix certain types of hearing loss, but the most common types, you know, it is what it is.
And
you know, the reason I bring up the technology and things is I don't want people to take this as kind of doom and gloom. I mean, there are so many technologies and assistive devices out there that can help people. They just have to be willing to say, first of all, hey, I need this. I need this help. And second of all, to use them. You know, your hearing aids aren't going to help you if they're in a drawer.
Yeah, true.
And the vibrating alarm clock, I have to say, is also good for college students. Pardon me?
I'm sorry. Say that again. I apologize.
I said the vibrating alarm clock is also good for college students to get them out of bed because it has a bed shaker to wake you up, and it shakes the whole bed.
I think it's good for teenagers, too, but, you know.
Absolutely.
That's a good thing. You want to tell people how to get in touch with you?
Sure. The easiest way probably is our website, which is www.hdscenter.org. And there you can access our online store and get an idea of the products that are out there. Or you can always call us at 412-281-1375.
Say that again.
Or
slowly,
look for an
please.
Agency in your area that does the same types of services. I'm sorry, Carol, what?
Can you just repeat that number slowly, please?
412-281-1375.
Thank you. Amy, this has been just fascinating. You know, there's just my head is spinning in so many different directions with so many more questions. And I would like to do a second part of this show another time and kind of build from where we are and maybe talk a little more in depth about some of, you know, the advanced issues as it relates to hearing loss and
sure.
what people are dealing with. I'd love to have you back, and I'm just very grateful for your time tonight.
It was my pleasure.
Everybody, we got a lot of people listening tonight. Just I guess, you know, this is a sign of doing a really good job that nobody asked the question. Or maybe maybe you answered all of their questions and we just
I'll take that.
We'll get some on the blog later on. But I wanted to say thank you and let everybody
know
that
me.
Thank you. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Susan Schatzer will be back. So if you caught her last show, she's going to build on it. And she actually came up with the name of the program, and the name of the program is To Hell With Your Attitude. So I think that's about shaping your own attitude and getting and moving into a more positive direction. So we're going to talk about that. And then we've got some other people that are coming back that you probably have heard before, but they've got new things to tell us. And we've got some new things that we're covering starting in July, and we're going to do a forum coming up possibly in August that we're going to do the politics of healthcare. So it's about things that you may have always never knew about what's really behind the scenes when you go see your doctor and why you're getting yeses and nos on certain issues, and you kind of can't move forward or maybe are moving in a direction that you didn't understand. So I kind of want to bring all that to light. Amy, I would love to have you back, and we'll work all that out. And for now, we're going to say goodnight to everybody and say thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Thanks.
Protect your hearing.